Have you ever witnessed a flashing beam of light emerge from the sky without any storms around? What would you do if your community kept experiencing strange occurrences but acted like nothing happened? Is Montana a major hub for UFO activity? Today, we test the believability of the Hamilton Lights.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. It's another week. It's another Tuesday. I hope everyone is doing well.
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking me.
You're everyone. Even the people not listening to this, even the people that gave us like 2 minutes of their time and didn't like it.
You know what? They didn't give us a 2-star, so I'll go with it. It's fine.
I'm excited for today. Do you know why?
I don't know yet.
Because we're doing another listener submission episode.
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
Quick tangent, actually. So it just dropped last week. We probably posted about it on social media. But we were just on the NY Patriot podcast.
Yeah.
And it's very conversational based. And there's many left and right turns, conversations you wouldn't normally expect. So I would totally recommend checking that out. But I also want to say, the only thing we were given ahead going into this interview was, hey, pick a couple of episodes from your episode list that you like, and we can talk about it. We were like, all right, what two are you going to take? I don't know. What two are you going to take? And so I'm going back. I'm like just looking at our list, thinking about all the good times, you know, back in the day of last year, which there weren't that many good times. But I was like, what episodes stick out to me? And crazy enough, as great as the big stories are, the Skinwalkers, the Mothmen, Jersey Devil, all that stuff, the two that I picked, and I'm not going to tell them on here, I'm not trying to pick favorites, even though I did, they were both listener submissions.
I picked one listener submission.
There's just something personal about them. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
It's just like this connection that you don't get with those bigger stories.
No, it's somebody telling you exactly something that happened to them. Just the personal touch I love. So I like it. I hope you guys like it. I hope you get excited when you look on your little phones and it says listener submission. Also, speaking of, we did have that collab with Haunting Seasons come out, which was awesome. So I hope you guys enjoyed that on Friday. It's not too often these days that we put out bonus episodes.
Gotta love a bonus episode.
You know, when you know, Baker only sees so many UFOs in a lifetime.
Right.
So we're kind of scrambling to find the bonuses. So if you guys really like that collab, let us know. And we'll see in the future. But with all that being said, I'm ready to dive in. Are you? So this story comes to us from Alexis out in Hamilton, Montana. Now, she alone might be half the population of Montana. So this is good representation that we're getting here.
I've been to Montana.
Have you?
I did.
I don't know if I believe you.
I did. I went through Montana with my dad because he worked in Montana and he wanted to show me where he worked at. I got to go to this huge power plant in Montana.
Wow. And then they're like, all right, population control, you got to get out. You are really cutting into our resources around here.
Montana is where I tried Rocky Mountain oysters, and I did not enjoy that. It's testicles.
Oh, I was going to say,
It's fried testicles.
I feel like
that happened.
I feel like the friedness might make it palatable.
No, it was bad. I didn't like it.
What sauce do they give you?
Well, I don't like sauces. I didn't have. I'd assume ranch.
On a different note, I bet the oxygen hits different out there, right? Just clean, good air.
Yeah, it comes at you really fast because everyone goes over 80 miles an hour. Now,
apparently, this is a known phenomenon in the area. They actually call them the Hamilton Lights or the Bitterroot Lights, which is another area around there. And just to put this location in perspective, because as we go further into this, I talk about different regions, and I just want to kind of draw you a map. It should be more clear than when we try to do those house maps.
Yeah.
We're like, all right, if you take a left, then there's the kitchen, and there's also like a little pantry there.
There's
but
a nook.
The right handle's a little loose. It's not supernatural. I just want you to know that. But I did Google Map the area just because she was feeding me names of places, and I'm like, I'm lost. I'm like, I'm not even there. I'm still on my couch and I'm lost. So I'm going to try and paint you a map. Very basic, just so when I refer to things, you'll kind of have an idea. All right.
Okay.
So Hamilton is in this little vertical line of cities. So imagine a vertical strip of not cities, towns, little towns, not big towns, farming towns.
Hamilton's belt.
Sure. Vertical belt, though. Like when you got it hanging over a bedpost because you don't put things away. And then to the left of that vertical strip of towns is this big, or at least it looks big on Google Maps, this big mountain range and Blodgett Canyon. So a canyon mountain range. And then on the right side of Hamilton, geographically speaking, I guess some people might say east, is the Sapphire Mountains. Okay.
Okay.
So it's kind of in this valley between these two higher areas.
Gotcha.
So canyon going through this mountain range on the left, and then the Sapphire Mountains and Helena is far on the right. Helena? Right. Helena?
Helena.
Helena? Okay. That's what I said that first time.
And you're
then,
correct.
Then I doubted myself. So now that you have that in your mind.
Shit, it's Helena.
You're going to do me like that? Alexis would often see these lights, orbs, as she would call them, in the sky, coming down from the Sapphire Mountains, cross over Hamilton, and then head over to Blodgett Canyon. And if that seems like it's a normal occurrence, like it's a very matter-of-fact statement, it's because it is. Apparently, this was such a common occurrence that she could narrow it down to a half hour.
Wow.
Like, I'm not kidding. Like, between 10:30 and 11, she would go outside, have a cigarette, and she would see these two or three lights slowly going across the sky, heading over to the canyon, and stop randomly, yet almost kind of systematically, above houses along the way.
No way.
So, question for you, Charlie.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you here.
Okay.
Pretend there's not people listening. You and me talking.
All right.
If you could narrow down a UFO experience to a window, like American Dad could be on Fox from 8:30 to 9, and then at 9, the real Roger is going to be abducting your neighbor. Would that ever lose its appeal to you?
No. No, it would not. I'd be stoked every time.
Every time?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like week one, you would, like, skip your baby's birthday or birth, not birthday, the first birthday. Well, actually, yeah. The zero birthday. But I feel like you don't think by, like, week 16, like, Hocus Pocus is on ABC Family, and you're like, well, I'll catch him tomorrow. I kind of like this movie. What would have to be happening between that half hour for you not to?
To not watch the Disney Family movie?
Yes.
I mean, that's on streaming. I can watch it whenever I want to.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess I'd have to. It had to be like I'd want to see like lights and stuff every time.
It can't get too boring.
Maybe I don't know.
Maybe try some zigzag motions. Pick up a cow.
I don't know. I know myself. I'd probably get bored eventually. I don't know.
I think that's fair. So anyway, and I appreciate this about her. She was skeptical, right?
Okay.
Even though she has it down to a science of when it's coming by, where it's going, she's like, okay, maybe it's a drone. You know, she doesn't really know what the drone's doing. Maybe it's out hunting or it's tracking animals because, you know, it's Montana.
Sure.
Like, yeah. We have giant eagle. We got Big Bird. They have, you know, wild animals out there. But things started to get a little weird. She said, eventually, completely black, unmarked helicopters started appearing at night and also flying into Blodgett Canyon. They would remain there for hours at a time, and then they would eventually head back towards Hamilton's Way.
She's just like, guys, you want the schedule? Like, I got the schedule.
Alien passing schedule. It's like they got the people with like the little lights letting them know when the aliens are coming. When
yes.
You go. But there's also reports in her town that the black helicopters would be following the lights. Like, there's not just like two random events. Like, the lights would go across the sky and the helicopters would actually follow them. So maybe she did give them some intel. And I don't know what she means by reports. Like, I don't know if it's like news outlets were talking about this or it's like Hamilton's Facebook talk of the town.
Oh, maybe.
It feels more like that.
It does, yeah.
Now, another aside, I don't think we've explicitly talked about this, and maybe you can speak to this, and I apologize for putting you on the spot, but you are the native ufologist in training.
Absolutely.
Bizarre. Isn't there some tie into black helicopters and UFOs or aliens?
Yeah, it's government chasing them. That's what the idea is. The government's like...
It's just the government.
Yeah. Like, they're chasing them because they want to know more about them.
Okay.
It's like a storm chaser.
Except aliens.
Yeah.
And for those wondering, and just because I feel like this is a natural thing, like like you said, government, right? Military.
Yeah.
There is a U.S. Army Reserve about 2 hours east of Hamilton. Oh. And the U.S. Naval Reserve is about 45 minutes north of Hamilton. Oh. So it's not completely isolated away from the military. I just want to say that up front. And so I also want to say this. One thing that always sticks out during the listener submissions, because obviously we rework it in our own phrasing and the way we talk about things, but, and I'm sure you've experienced this in your stories you've told as well. I always like the language that is used for certain things. Like when we did the Cursed Cabin episode 13 with Pask, she was saying, like when they were talking to people on the Ouija board or the spirit board, they were connecting.
Yeah.
Like that phrasing. I was like, I don't, you know, I'll change words, I'll change verbs, I'll change the way things are said. But if there's like a phrase that I really like and is repeatedly used, like connecting with the board, maybe that's what they actually say. I'm not familiar, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. But she kept calling these lights in the skies orbs. Like she didn't call them UFOs, she didn't call them aliens, she didn't call them spaceships. Pretty much every instance of this listener submission, she calls them orbs in the sky. So one, I think that's incredibly interesting. Two, maybe that's helpful in helping us understand exactly what she's seeing.
Maybe, yeah.
But three, I also just want to call that out now, because obviously orbs are connected to spirits and the mm-hmm. ghost world, and I don't want people to get confused in that translation.
Gotcha. That's interesting.
That's what I thought too, so I wanted to kind of call it out. So these orbs in the sky, that's what she's seeing. That's what she's seeing fly over Hamilton. She says that occasionally they will change color, and you know, if you think about a blinking changing light in the sky, naturally you think of maybe a plane, yeah. right? So that's kind of what the rebuttal was for some people in the town. They said, okay, maybe it's a satellite, maybe it's a plane. I don't, you know, you're not, yeah, it's probably not actually a UFO spaceship. But Alexis insists that these orbs were flying way too low to the ground. She estimates that they were between 500 and 1,000 feet away from the ground.
Is that close?
It's like 1.5 to 3 football fields in the sky.
Oh.
Because that's how we measure distance here. Football fields.
Especially in Montana.
Do you notice how you were like, well, how far? And then I said it. You're like, oh, yeah, yeah. So only a couple football fields.
That's not so bad.
Only 3 Nick Chubb runs. There's the NFL reference. Thank you. Plus, she's also seen drones out and about in town, so she has the opportunity to make a comparison, which is important. Because going back to last week's episode, the not deer, I was saying how it's important, you know, it'd be nice to be able to look at a not deer compared to a deer.
Yeah.
If you just see a deer on its own, it might be hard to identify the mm-hmm. neck's a little bit long or the arms are a little bit strange, unless it's just, you know, remarkably different. But the fact that there are people who have drones in Montana and specifically Hamilton, and she's able to see that and then compare that directly with those orbs and lights she's seeing in the sky. I'm not saying it validates what she's seeing, but at least it gives her a little bit more, you know, understanding.
Yeah, room to interpret what she's saying.
For sure. Also, it helps that it's actually like a known thing in the area, the Hamilton lights, right? Which I will say, I searched and nothing came up, so it kind of feels like it's close to the vest, something that they say, something that they do. But she says it's so known and like understood that most people either ignore it or act like nothing's happening. She actually likened it in her submission to people around like Skinwalker Ranch and how they just accept the strangeness of it. In the fiction world, it feels like it to me, like Derry with Pennywise. Yeah. How, you know, obviously it's not as violent as that, but just kind of like the carelessness of that. Oh, people are dying. Oh, crazy stuff's happening. Well, yeah, just, that's Derry. Yeah. That's Hamilton.
Just get your milk and shut up.
Right. But other than the consistent lights and things happening in the sky, there aren't any clear indicators of alien activity. There's no one coming forward and saying that they've seen an alien. There's nobody claiming that they've been abducted. And also, Hamilton's a pretty big farming town, and no one reports any of their cattle or livestock being killed or disappearing. But that doesn't mean that there isn't more weird stuff happening in the sky. And what do I mean by that? She claims that she's seen beams of light coming down from the clouds.
Wow.
Sometimes they're flashing, almost like a flashlight turning off and on, or similar to lightning. And other times, it's more of like a solid, non-wavering, opaque beam of light coming down. Now, she does say sometimes they occur during thunderstorms, but there are also many occasions where they occur and there are no thunderstorms in the vicinity.
So this is where the teenage aliens learn how to drive stick shift.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know how to drive stick shift?
No.
Dude, I learned how to drive and drive stick shift at the same time. It's amazing I'm alive. So Alexis recalls a particular string of nights where there were thunderstorms and lightning in Hamilton, but despite the storm, she noticed that there was this one singular light that was standing out. It almost looked like a spotlight coming down from the clouds. She said she tried to take a video, but her phone wasn't really able to capture it.
Yes. Like, you can't take pictures of stars.
Yeah, like,
in the
sky. You see it clear as day, and then you pull your phone out and you take a picture.
It's
and
like, what's that?
Yeah, I literally have taken pictures of stars and thought in the moment that it looked clear. And then, like, 5 months later, I'll be scrolling through my phone. So I'm like, why did I screenshot a black screen? And I look back and I zoom in. I'm like, oh, is that a star or
is
a crumb?
Dust? Like,
yeah,
what is that?
Yeah. So I don't blame her for not being able to catch that. And then a few nights later, the flying orbs in the sky were back. Around the same time, but they were also accompanied by blinking beams of light. Now, it was an overcast night, so the beams of light and the orbs were getting lost in the clouds. But at this point, beyond just going from the Sapphire Mountains to the canyon, she was starting to decipher a new pattern. And the lights would travel east of Hamilton to Grandsdale, and then south by the highway, west of her toward the river, and then north again, where the orb that seemed to be leading the other lights, kind of like in a triangular pattern, would start flashing and then immediately move a significant distance away from where it had flashed. So you can't see it when it's not flashing. I think that's what she's trying to get at.
Okay.
Where it's like flash, you lose it for a second, flash, and it's somewhere like way farther away than you would anticipate it
being.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Which kind of reminds me what I talked about a little bit when I was in North Carolina, where it's like flash, lights. Disappears, flash, not where you would expect it to be. Kind of trippy. So she's sitting down, she's watching this. I don't know how many times she's been trying to decipher this pattern, but she's paying attention. You know, she's watching a flash, it disappears, trying to pick out where it is next. You know, it's probably doing like zigzags and stuff that's just blowing her mind. But then she is completely caught off guard when she witnesses a blinding flash of light directly above her house.
Oh.
And remember, she's already seen these orbs hovering over other people's houses.
Yeah, so now it's her turn.
Yes. So she runs out onto her back porch and she's looking up. And remember, it's still cloudy night. So she's trying to catch a glimpse of what had caused this light, this flash. And she's getting this chill down her spine, this eerie, uncomfortable feeling as her eyes are trying to focus and adjust to what could possibly made this flash directly over her home. But unfortunately, she can't see anything. So she's a little dejected, a little bummed. She decides to go back in the house. But as she's looking out her window, she sees that glowing light, that orb in the sky. And she watches as it flies over her neighbor's house and does the same exact slow flash that it had done over her house. And she's shocked as she watches this orb make its way down every single house on her street. Just perform the flash, move on. Perform the flash, move on.
Wow.
The next day, Alexis spoke with a few of her friends in town, and they all witnessed the same thing too. Her friend said that they watched it go all the way to Stevensville, which is about 2 towns away from Hamilton, about 20 minutes. So in that moment, understandably, Alexis felt a wave of relief because even though she was confident, obviously something blinded her, you know, and she saw the zigzagging, she saw the lights. It was really nice for her to hear that some other people had witnessed the same exact thing too. It's kind of like what I say, like when you experience something supernatural or paranormal, I always think it's great to be at least have one other person there just for reassurance. Just so you don't start thinking you're crazy or start doubting yourself.
Yeah, exactly. If other people see it, then you know. Well, you suspect that you're not crazy.
Exactly. Because otherwise, I think doubt really starts creeping in.
If you're the only one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Even if you, without a shadow of a doubt, you believe it happened, a year later, you're like,
did I see that?
Could have been a shooting star that flashed a light.
Maybe that ghost was really just a curtain moving toward me.
Yep.
With a
demonic look on its face and hands stretched out.
I don't know, man.
Long black hair.
I was the only one there.
So more and more of the flying orbs would come out and would go down Blodgett Canyon after the flashes in town. So this became not necessarily over her house, but just in the town, a regular occurrence. She noted one particular night that she saw a light in the sky that she assumed was late or like behind the pack because it flew across the sky towards Blodgett Canyon in just a matter of seconds.
Guys, wait up.
I know. The air, the helicopter's going to catch me.
Guys, no.
I'm a squealer. I don't know how long it would normally take something to go across the sky, but she literally said like from one corner of the sky to the next corner of the sky, from the Sapphire Mountains to the Blodgett Canyon, just a matter of seconds. That's pretty fast.
Yeah.
That'd be, I don't know if it would necessarily be like a shooting star across the entire sky, but that's pretty fast. Speaking of Blodgett Canyon, her mother actually had an experience there.
Oh, okay.
So one night while Alexis and her mother were camping, her mom saw a large rectangle flying in the sky, which was hard to see because it was incredibly reflective, almost like a huge mirror. And the way it like caught a glimmer where they could just see that there was actually a frame there, like a rectangle, but it was reflecting the night sky.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Like the only way I can really, I don't want to say cope. The only way I can kind of digest this is just picturing a large mirror.
Yeah.
And how hard, just imagine something flying across the sky and you don't even know because it's just reflective. Like it's one thing when you think about it being invisible or something like that.
Yeah.
But imagine it's actually there and you can see it, but it's just reflective. And so you're seeing the night sky. I guess it wouldn't really be upside down because maybe that would reflect the ground unless it's night. I don't know. It's kind of hard to wrap your head around.
Yeah.
But she thinks that she was seeing the bottom of it. That's kind of what she came to terms with, is that she was seeing the bottom of this huge rectangular spacecraft in the sky while she was in Blodgett Canyon, which is where all the orbs in the sky head to around 11 p.m. And they saw it actually rising from Blodgett Canyon and head backwards, kind of where the orbs were coming from, to Sapphire Mountains across the valley. So her mom is like, okay, we've been camping, we've been hiking, I'm a little exhausted, maybe I'm just seeing things, but there were other campers in the area that reported seeing the same exact thing that she did. So it's like, they see these things, half the people see it and don't care, half see it and don't believe until more people say that they see it. Just a lot of affirmation happening here. Aliens are like, I can't believe they're all so cool about us doing this.
Like, yeah, they're just like stupid, stupid primates.
But staying on the subject of the canyon, Alexis says that there is a strange landmark in there. And she said if you dissect it on Google Maps, and I imagine if you have a little bit of insight and where to look, you can see some of these strange formations. I did not find any of these strange formations, but she says there that there's this very bizarre rock formation that apparently makes like a diamond shaped hole through the top of the mountain on the south side of Blodgett Canyon. So I'm thinking maybe an entrance. And she says people in the area think it's naturally occurring, but every time she passes by when she goes hiking, she gets really eerie feelings, so much so that she actually gets this instinctive feeling that she shouldn't even look at it. Like, almost don't even acknowledge that it exists. Like, she's being influenced to look away from this rock formation and this opening.
I wouldn't go by there anymore.
But it's probably a great hike. So the last time she was hiking in that area, she fought the tendency to avoid it. And when she started looking at it and really focusing on it and concentrating, she started hearing this deep humming coming from that area of the mountains. Now, her fiance said that he couldn't hear it, and like her mother, she chalked it up to maybe she was just being tired from the hike, and she was just imagining it. So they ate lunch, and she decided to do some fishing in the area. The fish weren't biting. They didn't care. She didn't care. She's like, screw this. I'm bored. No one likes fishing. I'm going to pack up. But while she's packing up, she felt the urge one more time to look over at this strange rock formation. And as she did, she noticed a single low floating cloud, just one little cloud, float over all the way to that exact rock formation in that opening. Stop. So it's actually blocking it from vision from what she said, 3 to 5 minutes, and then just completely dissipate, just evaporate. Like the cloud's just gone out of nowhere.
Man, I thought for a second, like, she looked at the rock formation and she saw, like, a little gray head popping up or something.
Like, hello.
Yeah.
Like, I got candy.
I would lose my mind.
Yeah. Now, she does admit that the area in the mountains have strange weather patterns, and that the highs in the mountains and the lows of, like, the valley can cause strange clouds and mist. But that being said, she does have a hard time justifying to herself why this just one single cloud would float in a direction, completely stop over this formation, and then not float away or slowly dissipate or, like, keep moving and just disappear, but just, like, move over, it's blocking it, and just poof, gone. So eventually her family did move away from the area. So for a long time, she was missing her favorite nighttime program between 10:30 and 11. She was not seeing orbs in the sky. So this isn't, they're not following her. It's not, you know, it's not like these things are specific to Alexis. It's obviously location. And she didn't say where she went. But of course, when she made her way back for a trip, it all started over again.
Of course. Of course.
So one night, while she's driving back to the area from Washington with a friend, it's late, it's always gotta be late, you know, around 11 to midnight, and they saw this drone-looking spacecraft that they had never seen before. She says drone because it wasn't that big. It was like the size of like a small car, maybe a Fiat. But she said it didn't look man-made at all. And maybe you can speak to this, because I know you are the ufologist in training here at Believing the Bizarre. She said it was like an S that was stretched out. It was completely white, and it had 3-foot prongs on the bottom of it that came out, sort of like an umbrella. Her words entirely. So Alexis' friend is shocked and starts slowing the car down, and they both just stare at this unusual craft flying over someone's house. And her friend asked for confirmation, "Do you see what I see?" And obviously, Alexis says, "Yeah." And looking back, she wished that she told her friend to pull over so she could again pull her phone out and try to capture some evidence, take a photo, a video. But she was also internally freaking out in that moment, so she stayed silent. However, it probably wouldn't have mattered anyway, because as soon as Alexis confirmed that she was in fact seeing what she was seeing, her friend slammed her foot on the gas and they sped away.
I don't blame her. No. I don't blame her.
No. So that was the last time that she ever saw that specific drone, but she claims that to this day, whenever she's in the area, it doesn't say whether or not she still lives in Hamilton, she always sees the lights and the orbs in the sky. And that's just that the town just accepts it. So
I feel like I should move to Hamilton.
I think we should go. That's neither here nor there. But one, I would love to go to Montana. I bet the at least the stargazing is probably pretty sweet there.
Yeah.
And two, I want to see some aliens.
Try those,
more than I've already.
Try those sweet, sweet Rocky Mountain oysters.
No. Unless they're plant-based. So that's a wrap on Alexis's unusual experiences and sightings of strange lights in the sky. So while that does close the door for now on Alexis's story, it does open up to what she kind of pitched. It is a personal story. This is a story that was absolutely personal to her, her perspective, her experiences. But clearly there is an underlying, is this a hub of UFO and paranormal activity?
Yeah. Is it?
Well, apparently, if you believe her story, the answer would absolutely be yes.
Yes.
But I did a little digging.
All right.
Just a little bit. Now, I'll say first, I searched Hamilton Lights, didn't find anything. Then I searched the other form. I did search the Bitterroot Lights, which is another name for the area in there.
Yeah.
Didn't see anything.
Okay.
If you search specifically Hamilton Lights or Hamilton Unusual Orbs or Aliens or UFOs, not a ton. But if you just open it up to Montana.
Okay.
There are a lot of UFO sightings and books found in Montana.
Really?
And I stumbled upon an amazing site that has a whole bunch of very condensed, pretty much reports. Like, it's not narrative as much, not as much story based. It's like, here's what I saw. Here's when I saw it. Boom.
That's awesome.
And these are all, and I kept it all within the vicinity of Hamilton.
Okay.
I didn't go to the greater Montana, because what this episode is about is specifically Hamilton.
Right.
Those mountains, the Sapphire Mountains.
Montana's a huge state too.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I wanted to keep it kind of around that area. Also, I want the discussion of this episode to focus mostly on Alexis's story.
Sure.
Not these.
Okay.
So we can discuss them as they're happening.
Okay.
The majority of these sightings come from the source UFO sightings in Montana, semicolon, What Flies in the Big Sky? and a lot of it's MUFON too.
Really?
Yeah. So source-wise, it's either MUFON or it's Trust Me, Bro. So don't ask about medical records.
Gotcha.
All right, I'm going to go by city. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. So the first grouping of sightings come from Missoula, Montana, mm-hmm. which is 50 minutes, 44 miles from Hamilton.
Okay.
Missoula Sighting 1. Date of the sighting, July 14th, 2008. Time of the sighting, 4:10 a.m. That's an early morning right there.
Yeah, or a really late night.
Yes. Weather, clear skies. Description. Quote, I first noticed the object above the trees across from the street from my house. It resembled a very large star, but close enough to light up the trees below it. It appeared that it was hovering just above the trees.
That's not a star.
Then it began to fade in and out and move from side to side and slightly up and down. I watched it for about 10 minutes, trying to decide what it was. Then it moved very quickly to another location further away. It continued to get bright and then dim, bright and then dim. I talked to my husband, and he told me to get pictures. It was too far behind the trees, so I only got glimpses of it behind the leaves. Then suddenly, the whole thing was gone. I watched until daylight, and the mysterious lights never returned.
Wow. That's so cool.
Thoughts?
I wonder what it was doing.
Floating.
Yeah, but why? Like, was peaking. It like calling things? Like, was it like doing like, maybe it was like checking the land.
Maybe he wanted to land there and they're like,
too like, many trees.
Is this the coolest place in the United States? Like, yeah, it's Montana. He's like, yeah.
I don't know. That's super cool though. I like that a lot.
Missoula, Sighting 2. Date of sighting, August 9th, 2016. Time of sighting, 11:30 a.m. Quote, I was helping a neighbor on his shop outside and observed a round object in the southwest sky. There was some misty clouds in the area, but overall, it was a blue sky. It seemed weird, as I could tell it was round and just a dot. I thought it was an aircraft or balloon. I went in and got my binoculars, and I continued to watch to see if it moved. While watching, you could see clouds moving, but this object continued to stay stationary. Eventually, a jetliner passed by the area, but this object stayed in the same location. My neighbor and I watched for an hour, and sight was lost due to cloud cover. My binoculars only showed that the object was round. I tried to steady my binoculars by leaning against a window frame. That helped a lot, but didn't show me any more than the round object. I could tell the object was really far away. When the jetliner flew past, the jet was far too, but the object seemed even further. In all honesty, I believe it was a balloon, but it didn't move the whole time and remained stationary for approximately the hour we observed. Now, MUFON field investigator notes on that description. Quote, initially, a celestial object was suspected. Using the program Stellarium, there are a few suspected culprits. However, advancing the time 1 hour does not leave any of them in the same place. They all cover a large viewing distance. So basically, they were like, oh, it could be the celestial body. Oh, nope, they moved in the hour. This thing did not.
They cannot all be winners. I think this one's absolutely a balloon. A weather balloon.
A weather balloon?
Yeah.
Do they stay stationary? I don't know enough about
them. Yeah, they go up. That's about it.
Wouldn't it be moving up, though?
I think it stops at a certain point.
And it's like, all right, this is good. The water, the air is warm right here.
It's like a certain density of the atmosphere it stays at.
I don't know enough about weather balloons to speak to this.
I'm pretty sure that's what happens. It stops at a certain density.
Well, then you would agree with this person because they also came to the conclusion that it was a balloon.
I think him and I are on the same page. Yeah, I think it's a balloon. But it's good that he reported it.
Missoula, Sighting 3. Date of sighting, May 12th, 2018, and other nights. Time of sighting, 10 to 11:30. Description, quote, every night in the western sky above Missoula, Montana, I observe with binoculars the same object. It turns, but seems to remain in the same position in the sky and has multiple colored lights all blinking at the same time. It disappears about 11:30 p.m. This is definitely not Venus or any other planet. Anyone looking up at the western sky right at dark until 11 or 11:30 can't miss seeing this thing unless they are blind.
Wow, cool. That's cool. I have no idea. That's crazy.
Let's move on to Stevensville, which is 21 miles from Hamilton. That's actually, it was, she talked about Stevensville in her story.
Yeah.
Stevensville, sighting one, location of sighting, Stevensville, Montana. Date of sighting, April 17th, 2014. Time of sighting, approximately 9 p.m. Description, quote, I was coming home around 9 p.m. on Thursday and started driving up our gravel driveway when I saw a bright chrome-like object about 7 inches in diameter. It was on the ground about 6 inches south of the center of the E-site flags. It was very clear and so detailed that I could clearly make out two front lights of my 2013 Elantra within the round object when my light beams shone onto the object. I didn't stop because I wanted to keep my routine if something else was out there. So I made my 90-degree turn on the driveway into the garage. I didn't have my iPad at the time and didn't take pictures. What was interesting is it seemed that the round object absorbed the front lights because I remember seeing the flags in the center and seemed like they were not in a lot of light. This is the first time I've seen anything abnormal at the E site. I don't know what an E site is. I don't know what kind of a researcher or researching this is. The only thing that really strikes me is this thing absorbing light.
Yeah, that's cool. But also a lot of weird details. I didn't have my iPad.
Yeah, I feel like there's a whole group of context. You know what I mean? It's like people have a conversation on the fifth floor and then it stops on the second floor. We just entered the elevator on the second floor and then we all left on the first floor. And we're like, oh, that was weird. I wonder what they do for their day job.
I didn't want to break my routine.
What? Routines are good. Well, sometimes.
This is a moment to break it, I think.
Stevensville, sighting 2. Date of sighting, July 2nd, 2017. Time of sighting, 10:15. Description, quote, I was riding my bicycle just as dark was setting in. I was traveling in a southern direction when I noticed a white light crossing from about 3 o'clock to 11 o'clock position. It was a large light, and at first I thought it might be just a plane coming into our little airport. Anyhow, just as I started watching it, it seemed to fall from the sky. My vision of the object was interrupted as it went behind some tall cottonwood trees, which were about 40 yards in front of me. I quickly rode to the street about 35 yards, turned north for exactly one half block, turned south again into the alley, and rode about to the halfway point of the length of the block. I didn't see anything where I thought the white light should be, but just then my attention was captured by a red light off to my right. It was very bright, and at first I thought it was a Roman candle as it was near the 4th of July, but quickly I realized that was not a firework. Maybe it was a drone. Those are popular toys these days. Anyhow, in seconds, it rose straight up to a height of about 100 feet. It was silhouetted against the Bitterroot Mountains, which were darker blue, darker than the sky. It was silent. As it rose, I could barely make out a boxy shape as it had two whitish lights on either side of the larger red lighted object. I struggled to get my camera working on my cell phone, but I was trying to record it as it rose up further and further and headed off in a southeast direction. At this point, it was traveling towards the southeast at about 200 feet at an angle of about 75 to 80 degrees above me. I rode to the end of the block, about 20 yards, to get a better viewpoint that would allow me to watch it more. Just as I focused on it heading out, it disappeared. The sky was still bright enough to see this all very plainly. Maybe it's a Montana thing, but everybody, unquote, is very, very particular and like dialed in like degrees.
Yeah.
3 o'clock to 11 o'clock. I can't break my routine. 200 feet, three football fields.
Maybe you just have to be so meticulous about their schedule because everything's so boring in Montana.
Wow.
I was just shots, kidding. I'm just shots kidding. Fired. I'm just kidding.
I want to go to Hamilton, Montana. I'm just putting that on wax. Lolo Forest, 2 hours, 80 miles from Hamilton. Sighting one. I think this is the only Lolo National Forest.
Okay.
Which means you can camp there 24/7 now.
Oh.
Without having or needing
license? Well,
you need a tent. No, you don't have to get permission. Remember? It's like you probably would go there to disappear.
Let's get an RV and camp there.
And disappear?
Oh. I mean, we'll see what happens. We'll see what Ben does with us.
Sighting 1, date of sighting, June 5th, 2016, time of sighting near midnight, Montana time. Description, quote, we were camping in Lolo Forest in Montana with friends. We were looking at the stars and watching shooting stars when we saw this object, which we thought at first was a really large satellite. We both had a strange feeling about it as it flew straight across the sky above us. It was moving at a steady pace, and it looked like a big bright star or a satellite. We began shining our bright flashlight at it, yelling for a few seconds when it flew over to the other side of the horizon. It started to dim and shimmy back and forth, going in an upward direction, faster and dimmer until it completely disappeared. Neither of us have ever seen anything like that before.
Oh, is it trying to shimmy? Was it trying to get like a tip? Like what the...
I think they mean it's doing that UFO zigzag motion.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So I think what this... for some reason, I like this one a lot. It's very mundane, but I feel like it's also like a very legitimate... Not that the other ones aren't, but this is you and your friend and you see just something strange in the sky.
Yeah.
But I think what they're getting at is it was going across the sky. It started shimmying, so you already know it's in a regular ship.
Yeah.
And it got dimmer and dimmer because it was going back up, into space.
Up.
All right, we finally have arrived, Hamilton, Montana.
Pulled into town, took her sunglasses off, said, are you ready for me, Hamilton City?
the alien's like, I'm not throwing away my shot. Hamilton, sighting one. Sorry, 0 miles, 0 minutes from Hamilton. Sighting one, August 2011. Fireball, triangle is the shape.
Whoa.
Source, MUFON.
Oh, snap. That's cool.
On Monday, August 29th, at 12:10 a.m., I left my residence on my bicycle and headed towards the bridge in downtown. As I approached the crest of the hill, I spotted a large red fireball hovering above the river, also near National Guard Base, interestingly enough. At first, I figured that it was a cell tower, but reason told me that I had been on this road 100 times a night, and there are no cell towers that close and this bright. Descending down the hill, I crossed the bridge, and I sincerely felt that this object was aware that it had been spotted, and began to maneuver across my path, approximately 200 to 500 feet away. It was difficult to judge the distance because of the darkness around. I then noticed the large red fireball was in fact three red fireballs that pulsated in a triangular pattern.
Oh my god.
The object hovered over the trees, and I lost sight of the object twice before losing it in the buildings downtown. The object was completely silent. All that could be heard was my heavy breathing as I attempted to chase this object on my bike. I had no fear whatsoever. If anything, I felt as though it was going to be there. In other words, I wasn't surprised at all. As I pursued the object, I was either lost in concentration or excitement with a hint of shock. When I reached my destination, I told my fiance about the incident. We drove home without further incident while she related to me her disappointment for not being present to witness this event. Ironically enough, she was fortunate enough to see the object again the next night around the same time. I will file a separate report for that sighting later.
Oh my god, this is the kind of UFO incident I am living for. That's so cool. That's so cool. I thought for a second she expressed her disappointment that I was not there for our child's birth. Something like that. But I'm glad that's not what it was.
The baby will understand. The baby will understand.
That is so cool. Awesome.
We named the baby Zeta Reticula.
Klaxar.
Hamilton, sighting 2. Sighted on May 2012. Reported on June 2012. Shape, light.
Lights, shape.
Duration, 15 seconds. Source, New Fork.
Okay.
Quote.
Oh, no. New Fork is, it's an acronym for something.
Well, yeah.
Well, I know, but it's a big one.
It's New Fork you.
New Fork's big.
New Fork yourself. This is why you're in training, Charlie.
I know, because I don't know off the top of my head.
National UFO Reporting Center.
Yeah, that's big.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know. It's not my job to know. I'm not in training to be a ufologist.
I recognize the acronym.
Listen.
Can I get like half credit?
It says source, New Fork. You kind of, the context tells you that it's going to be something
you
like
Mufon. You said it was either Mufon or Trust Me, Bro.
Yeah, Trust Me, Bro. It's New Fork. Quote, large, intense, white, bright light in the late evening of May 29th, 2012, near Hamilton. On the night of May 29th, around 11:30 p.m., I witnessed a bright light in the sky near Hamilton, the Bitterroot Valley. I went outside to have a cigarette, and I looked up at the stars, and turned my head down and looked up again, and an extremely white light shining. For example, say the stars are the size of a dime, and this light was the size of a grapefruit. It lasted only about 10 to 15 seconds, and then slowly diminished. It didn't move right or left, or up and down. After it disappeared, an aura remained that was rather light bluish. Was it an exploding star? I have no idea. Other than it was remarkable. The brightness was crystal white. Brightness that I've never seen before. It was round with feathered light near the outside. Hard to explain. I was stunned and shocked. I checked out images of exploding stars on the web, and there are a few that resemble what I saw, the bright white intense light. I just have to report this, since I've never seen anything like this before. New Fork note, witness elects to remain totally anonymous, provides no contact information. Could you imagine, I've thought about this before, I don't know if you have, and it would be so long after the, well, because of the way light travels and stuff, it would have happened way in the past, but imagine seeing a star explode in the sky.
What? That'd be crazy. It'd be really cool.
I would totally write to New Fork about that. I would write to MUFON, and then I'd write to New Fork.
Oh, okay. Trust I would write me, to bro. NASA about that.
They would just forward that to MUFON. Hamilton, sighting 3. Date of sighting, April 25th, 2015. Time of sighting, 10:25 Mountain Time. Description, quote, I saw one large orange orb, followed a few minutes later by 3 more large glowing orange orbs moving slowly over Hamilton in a northwesterly direction. They were low and silent, but they were large. There was no noise in town, the street, or otherwise. They were like no aircraft I've ever seen. They were self-contained orange balls of light, but I didn't feel threatened by them.
That reminds me a little bit like what you saw.
Really?
A little bit.
This reminds me very much of Alexis's story. Like, this seems to kind of fit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not necessarily the direction. Well, yeah. I guess Northwestern is true, because they're coming east from the Sapphire Mountains.
Yeah.
And she was saying they were going west.
That's right, yeah.
To the canyon. Mm-hmm. So, also, glowing orange orbs is a tongue twister.
Yeah.
Like, you need to say large glowing orange orbs. Large glowing orange orbs. Like, that's how you warm your mouth up.
Yeah.
That's that Betty Botter stuff. Finally, Hamilton, sighting 4. July 4th, 2017, time of night, midnight. Description, quote, I was watching fireworks, looking west toward the mountain. I saw a stationary orange glowing ball of light that looked like it was moving slowly toward us in the east. There were no fireworks directly in that vicinity. As we watched, it maintained its altitude and brightness, and then it disappeared. Unquote.
Oh.
Short and simple.
Yeah. It's cool, though.
The light. See lights in the sky. So before we get to the discussion, again, that was just adding to the lore of Alexis's story. She's saying it's prevalent in this area. I said bet, and I searched, and she was right.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Does this make, I'm not saying you ever doubted her, but does this make you doubt her a little less?
It gives her so much more credibility.
Credence.
I was not going to say it.
You felt it a little bit.
I felt it in my heart, but I didn't say it. It gave her credence. It did.
Listen, about 50 minutes ago, I don't think you thought Montana was a hub for UFO activity.
I really did not.
But now we're going to Montana this summer, apparently. So, this is an aside. This is a complete aside, but it brings us back to Alexis. It's a nice wrap up in a very unexpected way. This also shows you just absolutely how far back Charlie and I are on listener submissions. Are you ready? I'm just going to read what she said.
Oh,
you
God.
Ready?
Okay.
This was part of her submission. Quote, thank you for letting me tell my story. And also, If you could do an episode about the strange staircases that are out in the middle of nowhere in the woods and other strange places, that would be a cool episode to listen to.
I agree.
We dropped that on March 23rd. So please, again, everybody who has submitted a story to us, please be patient. This was pre-March 23rd, and it is currently October, so.
We're doing our best.
But there's more, still in her quote.
Okay.
We have a couple here in the Bitterroot Mountains, too. And she's talking about the stairs.
Oh.
There's actually a really creepy story about it out here that really freaks me and my friends out. One of my fiance's friend's dad and his friend found one. His friend went up the stairs, and then when he came back down, he didn't say anything. He just shot himself in the head in front of his friend's dad.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah. She said this was 30 to 50 miles in the mountain, so she wasn't sure if it was technically in the Blodgett Canyon or what part of the canyon, but now they truly believe that nobody, if they ever find those staircases, should ever go up them.
Well, yeah. Oh my god, that gave me chills all over.
So on that note, let's go to the discussion. So before we get to the discussion, now is the time that we thank our very appreciated Patreons.
Oh, yeah.
Our new Patreons especially. And there's a good handful this week, which is both amazing and exciting. So thank you to Kirk, Colby, Ivy, Jordan, and Martha.
Wow.
We appreciate all of you for joining our Patreon. We appreciate everybody who has previously joined our Patreon. Tons of content every week. Bonus additional stuff. Director's cut. Quizzes. Like we said a couple weeks ago, we started adding in Netflix party chat watches where we can all get together and chat while we watch horror movies on Netflix that you guys get to pick when we put up polls. Extra polling opportunities. Tons of fun stuff. So if you finish all the main episodes and you want more, just know that it's out there waiting for you should you choose to take it. So with that said, back to the discussion. All right. So like I said, I wanted to keep this pretty centered on Alexis's story. I mean, if we discussed every single one, that's why I wanted to keep those kind of wrapping.
Gotcha. Because
at first I'm like, okay, this is Alexis's story. This is her story. This is the discussion. But it just, when it got to her claims about the area, I was like, I got to be able to find at least a couple other things. Mm-hmm. And then when I found the site where it's just listed all these, and they're just like the perfect length too.
Yeah,
just nice. Like short, to the point, descriptive. You're in like popcorn. I actually cut a couple because it was just like, one, these can't go on forever. But the, like those,
but
I think
they
the
do,
one,
though.
These are the best ones, but it's like, it's really cool. And I appreciate the websites out there that actually collect this information. It's both, it's good entertainment, but it's also like eye-opening
to how many people actually see this kind of stuff in the sky.
Right. So if like the first 40 minutes you're like, wow, this girl's crazy, now I hope you're at least a little bit like, well, maybe the whole town's crazy, because it's a lot of sightings.
The one with the fireballs makes me so happy, but also I'm still not over how he ended the
it's a little jarring, right?
Yeah.
And also, I feel like, I can't remember exactly where we came down, but we were pretty low on the believability for the mysterious staircases in the woods.
Yeah.
And you don't, and most of the stories that you find are Reddit, where, you know, somebody flexing their creative writing skills poorly. Or well, we found a couple that were good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to trust the first half of the story, it makes you want to trust the second half of the story. But I will, it's not like, she's not saying, I saw these stairs.
Right, it's not firsthand.
It was her fiance's dad's friend.
That's third hand, but still, it's someone you know.
Yeah. It was jarring for me at first because it's like, oh my god, I'm just reading the submission now, because we don't read them prior because we don't know who's going to present them. We just file them away. We actually got two submissions today too.
Yeah.
So, but we don't read them ahead of time. So I'm reading them like, oh my god, the mysterious staircase. So I had to go back on our list. I'm like, when did we talk about this? I'm like, March. I'm like, oh my god. And then I kept reading, and she talked about that and that experience. I'm like, oh my god, like,
that's
my inclination is that doesn't fit the main story, cut it. Because
I know what you mean.
I just mentioned Martha, who joined our Patreon. Yeah. She had a whole third section to her Scribner Hill Devil story, and I cut it because it didn't fit. This wasn't like a story, it was just kind of like an aside.
No, but it was an aside that took me off the rails.
Yeah, like when we always pause between the sections when we're recording, and Charlie was legitimately shook.
Yeah, I still kind of am. But anyway, we can move on to her actual submission now.
Yes. So I think it's fair to say that at least there's something unusual in the town.
Yeah, definitely.
So let me ask you this. Do you lean more military or alien? If you're willing to buy in that there are these lights in the sky and all these people are seeing it. So let's just assume that's factual.
Yeah.
Do you think it's UFO that is alien, or do you think it's just government crafts that the public doesn't have knowledge of?
Let me break it down this way.
Yes, please do.
We've been doing Believe in Bizarre for over a year now.
Yeah.
We've heard reports of things from Mount Shasta, things in the missing forest, like people going missing in the forest, and all kinds of weird things in the forest, and this big open sky country almost falls into that kind of category. And things from the middle of the country are strange. They are. That's just a fact. Things from the middle of the country are weird. And I am 100% partial to believing aliens. I think I even gave the Black Knight satellite a higher rating than I should have. And that leads to my point. Everyone that's listened, I hope you know me well enough to know that I totally believe it's aliens.
You believed it as soon as I finished the three questions. But you have to admit all those experiences at the end really like nailed.
Oh yeah, it line drives it home.
So do you think the black helicopters then are government?
I do. I would imagine those are governments trying to either maybe escort the alien ships if they're working with them, or do research if they're not unsure what's going on. Something along the lines of, we want to know more about it.
The craziest thing to me, the fact that it's so consistent. And it's not just the consistent in like, hey, if you stay out in Hamilton for a week, there's a good chance you'll catch a UFO. What they're saying is literally between 10:30 and 11, you will see these orbs in the sky go from east to west over the town, and sometimes flashing beams of light. So that aspect feels like humans are all about patterns. We try to take things happening in the world, put them in boxes, make patterns, and that makes it feel like those things flying across the sky aren't a schedule. We kind of joked about the schedule, the alien schedule.
Yeah.
But that makes it feel more human to me. I feel like, and I can't speak for aliens because I have no idea, but I feel like humans are more pattern-based and time-based. Like, an alien's not going to be like, oh, it's 11:30. That's our time construct. Now, it could be a coincidence. I mean, their time versus our time. And I'm not saying that makes me not believe it's aliens, but the fact that it's the same time, same place, like, feels a little like, all right, third shift government going to, you know, fly here, do your work at the canyon, fly back, right? A little?
I could see that. I understand your point entirely. But also maybe, I don't know, maybe the aliens got a punch in too.
So what that doesn't explain, though, is the flashes of lights. So what's your opinion on these beams of lights? She said sometimes they're like flashlights on and off. She saw one directly over her house. Sometimes she did say they're during lightning storms.
Yeah.
But I mean, she was bold enough to say that she literally watched it go from house flash, next house flash, next house flash. What's your thoughts on that?
The way it's described, it feels like a cashier at a grocery store scanning items.
You're not wrong, because that's your perspective.
Yeah.
But that is not my connection.
Oh. Well, it feels like collecting data through scanning. That's what it seems like.
Oh, okay.
Does that make some more sense now?
It makes more sense. It makes more sense.
So maybe it's just like a collection of data from different points, because it only happened to her one time. Maybe they're just scanning the area to understand who is there.
Are they still there?
Yeah.
It's their, what's it called? Every 10 years they go, the census.
Census.
Here's the cool thing. Again, taking a step back. One thing I love about, there's many things I love about Believe in the Bizarre. Obviously, I wouldn't be keep doing this if I didn't truly enjoy it. But I love the growth in information that we're getting, mm-hmm. and the fact that now, and it'll just continue growing, that I can compound what I've learned before and use it later.
Mm-hmm.
What if, because she's saying there's nobody's coming forward with abductions and things like that, and it's just happening, you know, like house, flash, next. Thank you, next. What if they are mentally abducting these people, like what Hillary Porter was talking about, like when she was talking about she was on a beach.
Oh, yeah.
And she saw the alien on the beach. What if maybe it didn't happen to Alexis, but what if they are doing some type of interdimensional abduction that she can't explain and she didn't experience, so she can't speak to, but the people it's happening to maybe aren't realizing it. And they're warping time. So to Alexis, it's like, really boom, fast. Next, boom, next. But they could be spending hours with these people.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And Hillary is in England right now. Like, yeah, I told you.
I listened to some videos of her. So she's like, oh, so I told him that there's some people going down there. And I told him so that there's interdimensional. And that it's quite frightening, really, when they come. And sometimes I'm on a beach. And
I like the idea.
I hope she listened.
I hope so, too.
Now, I just went to saying that maybe they're fake and it's just government officials to maybe we're getting abducted by flashes of light. So I'm on. I like to play both sides.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think you already gave your scale rating, but I also want to hear it just in its finite.
Believable.
She made it really easy for me. Really easy for me. You already know I do lean aliens, too.
Yeah.
This is one that I probably would be between viable and believable. She never talks about aliens. Did you notice that the entire episode, she didn't really say anything about aliens?
Yeah, she did.
She talked about orbs.
Right.
She's not claiming. I mean, I think she's alluding to, but she doesn't ever actually. I think anytime that there was UFO in there, it was me rephrasing.
Right.
So if you go back and listen and you're like, oh, I found it at the 14 minute mark. That's me rephrasing. Everything she said was just glowing orbs.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she did. Do you think, did she? I'm trying to think
that. I didn't read it, man. I don't know.
Well, you just heard me say everything.
Oh, if you've ever said UFOs?
Yeah.
I think you might have a couple times, but that was you.
Yeah, that's my influence. So maybe, okay, don't go back and listen. She's not necessarily saying I saw aliens. That's my point. She's not saying there are aliens in Hamilton. She's saying I'm seeing lights in the sky and it's pretty unexplainable.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that she reported it, a lot of other people in town are reporting it. I just found all those examples of people in the area, the vicinity, reporting it. I can't say everything she said is true, but I'm going to give it a believable as well.
Man, I do really appreciate that old man's like, I think that's a balloon, but geez, it's weird.
So that is our episode, The Hamilton Lights.
Oh, man, you should call it The Hamilton Flap. Flap is a word for a lot of alien or a lot of UFO sightings. That's true.
But you didn't know what New Fork was?
You.
New Fork, you. I hope someone listens who works there. Get us a... Oh, do you remember... Somebody actually came to us when we were at Porch Rocker in August, and they claimed to work for NASA, and they asked us all of our opinions on what we think is real with aliens, and then they just, like, smiled at us and said, well, I can't say.
I do remember that,
yeah. I'm like, what a tease.
Yeah, I was excited. I was like, maybe I'm going to learn some inside information. And then I
did not. Big nope.
That's okay, though.
All we did was give them a sticker.
Yes.
But anyway, thank you, Alexis, for submitting your story. Thank you for being patient. Who knows if you're even still listening, but if you are, thank you. That's crazy. And like, we joke a lot. We joke a lot. I really do want to visit Hamilton, Montana now, or at least that region of Montana.
I'd love to.
We're going to that canyon.
All right. Yeah, Alexis, thank you so much for your stories. I really enjoyed what you wrote about the spheres in the sky, but also that last little caveat of the stairs in the woods is chilling. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I thought you might like that little bit of tidbit.
I did.
And if you, the listener right now listening, enjoyed it and you want to let us know that you enjoyed it, one, you know, you can hit us up in our DMs. We are very active on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much on Facebook, and Twitter is like, it's the Montana. It's just kind of barren's probably mean to say after doing that episode on Montana. don't go to Twitter unless you really want to, but hit us up on Instagram in our DMs. Or you know what you can do is you can head to Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review, and tell us in there what you think about the podcast.
Yeah, we see those almost instantly when they come up.
It takes a couple days, you know?
It does.
Like, if we posted on a Saturday and it says a Wednesday, it didn't fully get through aggregate until Saturday. So, we're not late on them, I promise. Also, breaking exciting news, if you've made it this far in the episode, then we saved something special for you. We have an awesome event coming, because you know it's spooky time. So, you know we have to do an awesome live event.
Yes, it's going to be very cool. One of my favorite things of all time, probably. it's going to be live from a location that is not where we are now.
That's right, because last year we did Helltown, Ohio. So it is
Which was close to us.
Yeah, it was like 20 minutes.
This is not as close.
Not as close, but not like we're not going to be driving forever. We're not going to Montana.
Right.
But it is going to be live. It is going to be Friday, October 29th at 9 p.m. Eastern time. You'll be able to stream it. You'll be able to hear it back just like you're hearing this. We'll put this up too. But if you want to watch it live, we'll be live streaming on both Instagram and Facebook. So again, that's October 29th. At 9 p.m. Eastern time. And again, we want to shout out, we just did an interview with NY Patriot, so go check them out, check our socials, and Haunting Seasons. We did a double collab. He had us on his show.
Yeah, you should listen to that one too.
Yeah, he's really good stuff.
Comes out the same day we put out our bonus.
Friday. Last Friday. So thank you everybody so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are.